But our text deals with a woman who was barren, who the Lord gave a child. Hannah was the wife of a man named Elkanah, and he had another wife named Peninnah. He loved Hannah, favored Hannah, but the Lord had shut up her womb. She was barren. Peninnah had many children, and Peninnah rubbed it in. She provoked Hannah and that she had all these children and Hannah couldn't have children. Peninnah is a picture of God's elect church, of the true Israel of God, and a picture of individual believers who often appear barren, not as fruitful as the world. And Peninnah pictures natural religion, natural Israel, those who appeared fruitful, and like Ishmael persecuted Isaac, the Lord said that natural religion persecutes God's true child. And this was the picture we have of them. Hannah had asked God. She depended on God the whole time. And she asked God, and he gave her a son, Samuel. Formed a son in her womb miraculously. And it's a picture of Christ coming through Mary, the promised seed. It's a picture of Christ being formed in the heart of his elect. And she had promised that she would give God the child. We give God the glory when he gives, produces fruit. And so she took the child to Eli, the priest, for him to serve in the temple. And so that at this time, Samuel would have been about 12 years old, probably. That's when they winged them finally, and they were able to help, you know, and serve. And so she had taken him to the temple. Now Hannah's rejoicing in the Lord. She's thanking the Lord. And 1 Samuel 2:1, and Hannah prayed and said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord." True worship, true prayer, praise, thanksgiving, service is all from the new heart God's given through faith in the Lord, and it's all in the Lord. She said, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord." Horn means strength. The believer's strength is Christ in the heart. They carried oil in a horn, and the oil of the Spirit's poured into the God's elect, and there's a new heart created that gives God all the glory. "My mouth," she said, "is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation." You notice here, everything that she's thankful for is in the Lord and by the Lord. Everything. She had thanked the Lord for the child, but here she's thanking the Lord for, she's praising the Lord for everything. She said there, "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies because I rejoice in thy salvation." It's all in the Lord, all by the Lord. Now let's hear Hannah's rejoicing in the Lord. First of all, she rejoiced in the Lord's holiness. She said in verse 2, "There's none holy as the Lord, for there's none beside thee." There's none holy as the Lord, for there's none beside thee. Many praise God for his blessings, for his goodness. Hannah praised him for his holiness. God's children praise him for his holiness. There's none holy as the Lord. God's glory is his holiness. That's his glory. Omniscience and omnipotence and omnipresence and so on. Mercy, grace, long-suffering. These are attributes of God. Holiness is God's essence. It's his being. It's the whole perfection of his being. God is holiness, and holiness is God. There's none holy as the Lord, for there's none beside thee. The angels of God are holy, and God makes his saints holy. But our holiness is given of God. God's holy in and of himself. He's holy in and of himself. At our best state, we're not perfect due to our sin nature. God is holy. He's the Holy One. He's the Holy One. It's hard to talk about holiness because who can describe it? He's the Holy One. All that God does is holy. He elected his people by grace. And when he did so, he He chose us in Christ. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ before the world was made. And that's how the Father made His people separate and holy in His Son. And then the Son of God came forth, and He redeemed His people. He perfected forever them that are sanctified by one offering. He perfected forever them that are sanctified. That's how we were made holy in Christ and by Christ. And the Spirit of God comes, and in regeneration, He forms Christ in the heart, just as a picture, like pictured here with Samuel being formed in Hannah. He forms Christ in the heart, and there's a new holy man created, and that new holy man's holy by Christ the Holy One. And the Lord, the Spirit, keeps us. He makes us partakers of the divine nature. He keeps us separated in Christ. Keeps us loving holiness and hating our sin. And he does this in such a way that He makes us cry out like Hannah did here. There's none holy as the Lord. There's none beside Thee. Because He keeps you knowing He's the one keeping you. He's the one keeping you. And every sinner God saved is made holy by God alone. There's no holiness but Christ, the Holy One, who's perfected His people on the cross and who abides in the heart of His people. He's the holiness of His people. He sent redemption unto His people. He hath commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. So that's what she praised Him for first. Lord, You're holy. None like You. None like You. Secondly, Hannah rejoiced in God's power. She said there at the end of verse 2, neither is there any rock like our God. God is our rock. Christ is our rock. The strength and the power of God unto salvation is the Lord Jesus. He's the power of God unto salvation. He's the rock. He's the rock. He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is He. And by the Father sending forth the Son, and the Son perfecting His people, we read in Isaiah 28:16, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone. Tried in that fiery furnace, heated 7 times on the cross, found perfect, true, never wavering in His faithfulness and holiness toward God, bearing the sin of His people, putting away the sin of His people, a tried stone. Perfectly faithful, perfectly holy, a precious cornerstone, precious to God the Father, and precious in you who know Him. A precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. A sure foundation. If He's planted you on a rock, you're on a sure foundation. A foundation that can't be moved. All other ground sinking sand, this foundation sure. It's sure. He's going to keep you on Christ the rock. And that because that's so, he that believeth, that's how we're on this rock, through faith in Him. And he that believeth shall not make haste. You're not going to be wildly shaken and moved, and you will enough to see your own flesh is weak. But in Christ, you won't make haste. You won't ever be ashamed. You won't ever be confounded for trusting Him. You're on Christ, the solid rock. This is what she praised Him for. You're our rock, Lord. You're our rock. And then Hannah rejoiced that God's the God of knowledge. Christ is wisdom. He's wisdom. He's omniscient. He's the all-knowing, just judge. She said, verse 3, talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Some think Hannah's referring to Peninnah, who boasted that she bore fruit, and Hannah did not. But Hannah's speaking of something here far greater than that. She's talking about the glory of our Lord, who makes His children triumph over our flesh and the devil and every enemy we have in this world. And she's rejoicing in the Lord for saving her and for saving His elect church. She pictures Mary. That's who Christ came through. And her song here is much like Mary's song. But she says there, "Talk no more exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. The sin nature in every child of Adam is pride." Like holiness is the essence of the Lord, the essence of our sin nature is pride. It's pride. We have nothing to boast of. We really should never be proud of anything. We have nothing to boast of. There's no merit in us. God didn't choose it because of any merit in us. There's no strength in us. She just declared Christ is the power of God. He's our rock. He's our strength. She couldn't bear children. There was no spiritual understanding in us by nature. She's saying here, Christ is wisdom. If we have wisdom, it's because he gave us the mind of Christ and taught us the gospel. We come into this world a guilty sinner with a sin nature that's corrupt. And so everything God gives to his child is entirely by God's grace. Everything. And it's all the gift of God freely given to us. We have no reason, whether it's something spiritual or temporal, we have no reason to be proud and talk arrogantly, because everything is the gift of God by his grace through the righteousness of our Lord Jesus Christ. And our own all-knowing God weighs all actions, by the heart from which they come. And he's the only one that knows the heart. God creates in his child a broken heart. A broken heart. Contrite heart. A heart that sees no good in ourselves. God's children, you know, Peninnah is a picture of religion. She saw all this fruit she had. And that's religion sees their fruit. Natural men see their fruit. God's child don't see his fruit. You don't see yourself. You see your sin keeps you humble before God. It keeps your heart dependent upon God our Father. That's a broken heart. Dependent upon the Lord Jesus Christ for everything. That's a contrite heart. A heart that desires above everything to please God. And then you see how short you come. And so your heart's broken. But here's the good news for God's children. God's weighing the actions by the thoughts and intents of the new heart he's put in his child. And he's weighing the actions of every man by the heart. And he never makes a mistake. We can. Eli made a mistake. He thought Anna was drunk. Hannah was praying to God. And he didn't have any idea what her heart was. The whole time that Hannah was barren, her heart was set on God. While Peninnah looked at her and thought, "Y'all, you just barren, you don't have any fruit." All this fruit we see right here, this is the fruit God produced. What she's saying here comes from a heart God's made, and that's the fruit that was in her. And Peninnah didn't see any of that fruit. She didn't see any of that fruit. But that was the fruit in Hannah the whole time. She was dependent on God, calling on God, trusting God, seeing her total inability in herself, not looking to herself, looking to God the whole time. And God knew that heart. He knew that heart. He put it in her. He put it in her. And when he produced this fruit in her, what'd she do? She gave him all the glory. She gave him all the glory. She knew where the fruit came from. All the rejoicing of her heart was the Lord. She said, "My heart rejoices in the Lord." That's the heart. That's where he's weighing the action, the heart. "My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn, my heart's exalted in the Lord. You've lifted me out of the dust, Lord, and made me rejoice in the Lord. My mouth's enlarged over mine enemies, not because of something I did, because of thy salvation." She rejoiced in his holiness. She rejoiced in his power. She rejoiced in his wisdom and his judgment. She knew I needed to be barren for that season. She knew he gave me the fruit right at the right time. He works everything just and right. She's rejoicing just like David did when he wrote Psalm 139. This is what David said in Psalm 139. He said, O Lord, Thou search me and know me. Thou knowest my down sitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. There's not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, Thou knowest it all together. Thou hast beset me behind and before and laid Thine hand upon me. Such knowledge, such wisdom, it's too wonderful for me. It's high. I can't attain unto it. That's what Peter said when the Lord came after his fall, and the Lord came and said, Peter, do you love me? You love me more than these? That's where that was your boast before. At that time, Peter said, Lord, you know. You know. You've got full knowledge. You know my down sitting, my uprising. You know everything about me. That's what Hannah's praising God for. Aren't you glad? The scripture says this natural heart we have, and we still have it, it's deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, and you and me can't know it. God knows it. And God knows the heart He's created, and thank God He's going to keep you knowing Him and knowing it. He's leading you and keeping you. That's what she praised God for. That's when Christ has made wisdom unto us. Christ has made wisdom unto us. Wisdom, knowledge that passes understanding. And then thirdly, she rejoices in God's grace toward His people. She rejoices in God's grace toward His people. Now, these are some examples of God weighing actions by the heart. First, she talks about the mighty and them that are weak. She said, the bows of the mighty men are broken, and they that stumbled are girded with strength. The bow represents the strength of men. A man appears strong, mighty, and all the while in his heart he's glorying in his might, he's glorying in his strength, glorying in what he did. That's what Peninnah was doing. Peninnah wasn't praising God for making her so fruitful. In a natural man, everything he has, God gave him. Though he doesn't have spiritual blessings, all the natural blessings God gave him. But he's glorying in his might. In his religion, he's glorying in his might, in his works, he's glorying in his might, in his temporal things. And all the while, that's his heart. He's glorying in what he did. And the Lord breaks that string. In the end, the Lord will break it. But God's child appears so very weak and stumbles. God's saving sinners. God's saving by grace. Saving by grace. Hannah was weak. She was stumbling. She was barren. And she just appeared fruitless. And Peninnah mocked her. The people of this world mocked God's people. Churches in this world's churches appear so fruitful. And the folks in them appear, they compare themselves with others and think they're so fruitful. And just like Ishmael mocked Isaac. That's what Peninnah did to Hannah. And yet, her heart was a heart made new by God. And she trusted the Lord. She just looked to the Lord. She knew, He's going to do right for me. And she just trusted the Lord. She's like that publican in the temple. Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. And God gave more grace. He always gives more grace to His children. When you're weak and you stumble, you look to Him. He's going to give more grace. That's what James said. He girds His child that stumbles with strength, with Christ our righteousness, with Christ our wisdom and our power. That's how He's going to gird you. Christ in the heart. Then she gives the example of the rich and the poor. Verse 5. They that are full have hired out themselves for bread, and they that were hungry ceased. so that the barren hath borne seven, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble. Men who are full of temporal things, usually, if you talk to them, they consider themselves blessed, blessed of God. And if you talk long enough, you'll find out the reason they think they're blessed is because they've been living right, living good, and God's blessing them because of that. But worst of all of those are those who are rich in their own righteousness, full in themselves, full in their own goodness, and their merit, and their righteousness, and their morality. But in their heart, they're trusting their works, they're trusting their purity, they're trusting how they've separated themselves, and they hire themselves out, he said, for bread. They end up compromising, prostituting the gospel to get more people involved and more people joining with them. They hire themselves out for bread. They like the mighty man trusting in his might. God's looking on the heart, and God sends the fool away empty. He sends the fool away empty. Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in anything you've done. You know, when you talk to people, and what made the difference? What made the difference? Somebody professes to believe God. What made it? Well, I believe God. If that made the difference, you're in trouble. God came and redeemed his child. It's the faith of Christ by which we're saved. He gives you faith. You can't even boast in that. And that faith he gives us is trust in his faith, not our own. Don't trust in yourself. Isaiah cried out, "Cease ye from man whose breath is in his nostril." That's us personally. Don't trust yourself. Trust Christ. But then there's God's child who's poor. Maybe they're poor in temporal things. Many of God's children are. I travel a lot. I see a lot of poor believers. Poor in spirit, though. Because you see what your flesh is. It keeps you poor in spirit. Hungering and thirsting after righteousness, after the Lord Jesus. You want to walk before him in righteousness. You're hungering and thirsting after that. Hungering and thirsting after the living bread. You know, if you look at Luke 16. God weighs the action by the heart. In look on the outward appearance, God's looking on the heart. And here's your prime example of it. Here's your prime example. None would have looked upon Lazarus as being a blessed man. He's a poor beggar. Got wounds all over him. And you see the poor people on the street, you think, boy, there's a blessed man. That's who Lazarus was. Dogs would come and lick his sores. That's the only comfort he had in his life. And then he sat at the gate of a rich man. Now that's who everybody looks at and says, now there's a blessed man. There is Mr. Living Good right there. Listen to this. Luke 16:19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate. He couldn't even get to his gate. Somebody laid him there. Laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and he saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and he said, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented." You see, while Hannah was barren and she was weeping, and Peninnah's fruitful and she's mocking, Elkanah, the husband, he loved Hannah and he favored Hannah and he gave Hannah a double portion. Child of God, you're weak and you see your sin nature. You're hungering after the Lord. You're hungering to walk after Him. You're poor in spirit. You're like the beggar. You are the beggar. But our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished the warfare of His people. And you know what He's done for us? He's done for His children. You, He's called just what He did for Hannah, what Elkanah did for Hannah. He's given us double for all our sin. Double. Double. He's put away all the sin of His people and He's made us the righteousness of God in Him. He's blessed us eternally. We're blessed better than we were in Adam before the fall. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, among you and me who were not of natural Israel. What are the riches? What is the rich? What is it to have the riches? Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the picture here with Hannah, with Samuel being formed in her, Christ in you. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. And you looking at Peninnah as a type of natural Israel, and then you look at Hannah as a type of God's elect church. She said there in verse 5, "The barren hath borne 7, and she that hath many children is waxed feeble." 7 is a number of perfection. And our Lord has a perfect, He has an elect children, and He will save each and every one of them so that that perfect number will be brought into the fold and saved. They'll all be brought forth. In Isaiah 53, Isaiah declared that we're saved by the travail of the Lord Jesus Christ. We didn't travail. He did. And He shall see of the travail of His soul and be satisfied. He travailed to bring forth children. He travailed to make His children the righteousness of God in Him. And He's going to, through this gospel, call us out, form Christ in the heart, and all the travail is His. We're the children born. And He tells His bride, His church, in Isaiah 54. Listen to this. Let's look at it. Isaiah 54. This is what He tells us right here. After declaring that triumphant victory of our Lord Jesus, this is what He says to us. This is what Christ is working right now in this earth through this gospel. Isaiah 54:1. "Sing, O barren." That's who Hannah was, the barren. That's the true church of God who appeared barren. "Sing, O barren, thou that didst not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles. And make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not. Thou shalt not be ashamed. Neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thy husband. The Lord of hosts is His name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall He be called." That's what Hannah's praying. That's what she's praying. And our Lord right now, through this gospel, He's calling in His people. He's calling in His people. He's calling in His He's birthing his children through the bride, the church, preaching the gospel. And when he's done, it's going to be a perfect number that no man can number, that our Lord has made, that he did all himself. He's the maker. He's the redeemer. He's the Holy One. He's the power and wisdom of God. He's the righteousness and holiness, the ark and finisher of faith in all his children. He's the salvation of his people. Now go back to 1 Samuel 2:6 and let's see. I'm just going to read this. I read this the other night. This is what the Lord taught Hannah through her barrenness and then making her fruitful. And this is what the Lord's teaching his children. He teaches you this when he finds you in your utter barrenness and forms Christ in you. He keeps teaching you through the seasons of your barrenness and while he produces fruit in you and shows you it's all of him. He's showing you more and more it's all of him. And here's what he makes you to know. Verse 6, the Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave and bringeth up. The Lord maketh poor and maketh rich. He bringeth low and lifteth up. He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. He will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in darkness. For by strength shall no man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Out of heaven shall he thunder upon them. The Lord shall judge the ends of the earth, and he shall give strength unto his king and exalt the horn of his anointing. Jesus Christ our Lord is the King of kings. He's the Lord's anointed. He's the Christ. He's the Holy One of the Lord. He's the strength and power of his people. He's the all-knowing Savior, and he's keeping the feet of his saints. He told his disciples, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go forth and preach this gospel. That's our assurance. By strength, no man will prevail. We won't prevail by our strength to justify ourselves. We won't prevail by our strength to sanctify ourselves. And no enemy of God will prevail to do his redeemed any harm. For by strength shall no man prevail. Hannah was utterly weak and barren. And yet the Lord produced life in Hannah, and that brought her to praise God alone. You know what Hannah means? It means grace. That's what it means. The Lord taught her what he taught the Apostle Paul. He said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Are you weak? Are you weak? Children of God are weak. That's where he's going to keep his children weak. Because when we're weak, we're strong. We trust in Christ only. I titled this Grace to Grace. God gave grace to Hannah. You turn from all else and you believe the Lord Jesus. I don't care what he brings in providence. You turn from all else and you trust the Lord Jesus. You do what Hannah did. She cried out for God to save. She cried out for God to fill her, to strengthen her, to save her. You do the same. And he gives grace. And he gives more grace. And he keeps giving grace. He does it to all his Hannahs. Unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and he's the wisdom of God. You trust him. All right, let's go to it. Our Heavenly Father, there's none holy but you. How we thank you that you have set us on the rock, Christ Jesus. How we thank you, Lord, that you're the wisdom of your people. You know all things. You know the heart in your people. You know the heart of the wicked. Lord, we're thankful for your grace to us, for lifting us up, keeping us low in our flesh, and lifting us up in spirit, keeping us looking to Christ alone, trusting him alone. Lord, we ask you to form Christ in us. We ask you to renew us in our minds, make us behold him like we'd never beheld him before. And keep us looking only always to him. Thank you, Lord, for this gift you've given us, all the grace you've given us. Lord, don't let us speak proudly. Don't let us speak arrogantly. Let us glorify you. Let our heart rejoice in the Lord. Let us rejoice in your salvation. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen.